Charlie Brown Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Miracle on 34th Street, and more recently, A Christmas Story, The Santa Claus and Christmas Vacation. These are just a few of the movie and television industry's contribution to our Christmas traditions. My personal favorite is the 1951 movie Scrooge, one of over 60, if you can believe it, English language versions of the Charles Dickens classic A Christmas Carol. We find joy and comfort in watching these, and I'm sure other stories with their happy and sentimental endings. We watch them again and again, year after year, and I think one of the things that must draw us to them might be that on one level or another, they all seem to be stories of hope, conversion, redemption. Certainly all valid Advent themes, consistent with our time of preparation for the celebration of the coming of our Savior. But our Advent, our time of preparation, is almost over. A scant 29 hours before we here at the cathedral begin our celebration of the Lord's birth. But these stories also present themes of joy, love, mutual support, affirmation, assurance, themes of the Spirit entering hearts and moving one or more characters to decent and noble actions, intervention of the Holy Spirit, themes that help move us into our celebration of Christmas. We find all these same themes in our gospel today. I can think of no reading in all of sacred scripture more fitting to help us transition from Advent preparation to Christmas celebration. I certainly cannot, nor I think can any other homilist you're apt to hear this weekend, pretend to know much about what these women in today's gospel were feeling or thinking. But we might try to imagine just a little. We have a woman, we don't know how old she is, but we are told she is advanced in years. We know that her husband was a priest, so we can surmise that she was very high on the social totem pole, a pillar of the community. We also know that despite her advanced years, she was 6 months pregnant, a fact that she would have found very, very validating in her particular society, where her years of barrenness had been a source of shame and social reproach. Not only that, but nothing less than an angel of the Lord had foretold great and wonderful things about her son. If ever a woman might have been tempted to feel superior or judgmental, it might have been Elizabeth. She was on top of the world. Now she's getting a visit from her cousin, a young woman, a girl really, who had recently received a visit from an angel. The results of that visit must have been somewhat unsettling. She had agreed to do what the angel asked, indeed what her God asked of her. She was also promised great, wonderful, yet mysterious things considering her son. And there was certainly joy in that. But when all was said and done, when the angel was gone, she still had to live in the world, into the society she was born into. And that was a world where the lot of a young woman, unwed, expectant, was not a pleasant one. The best she could hope for was to be socially ostracized, to live in disgrace. Her parents would be disgraced. Her betrothed, would certainly be expected to renounce her. She could expect no better. And the worst that could happen was really terrifying. Death by stoning. We, of course, don't really know all the thoughts and feelings that were going through Mary's mind as she set out on her journey to the hill country of Judah. She must have wondered, though, what kind of reception she would receive. Elizabeth and Zachary were important people, religious leaders. How was she going to explain her condition? Would she? Could she be believed? Would she be an embarrassment to them? Would she be shunned, turned away? We don't know, of course, what Elizabeth might have done, how she might have acted without the intervention of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it seems we find comforting, affirming to ourselves to belittle and to be judgmental and exhibit imagined superiority over those most in need of love and understanding. Elizabeth certainly could have done so, but she was open to the Holy Spirit, and the exchange that took place between these two exceptional holy women was certainly one of the most loving, joyous, supportive, and affirming exchanges found in all sacred scripture. So might we not ask ourselves as we reach the rapidly approaching end of this Advent season, as we move into our celebration of Christmas, where and how is the Holy Spirit trying to intervene in my life? Who is the Holy Spirit calling me to show love and understanding to? Who is the Spirit calling me to affirm? And most important, am I open to the Holy Spirit? Please have a joyous and blessed Christmas.